God's grace be with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. This morning, let's take a look together at gentleness, the act of being gentle and the attitude of being gentle. I'm going to ask, in your own assessment of yourself, are you a gentle person? Could you grow more in gentleness? What does God teach us about this in His holy word? How highly does the Bible exalt gentleness? And is God Himself gentle with us? Let's take a look at these things today so that we can understand this very, very important topic all the better as God would speak to us, His people. What can we say about gentleness today? First of all, let's take a look and see if that's actually a Christian quality that we should strive for and aim at in our lives. Let's open up the scriptures. And I'll just give you a few examples of literally multitudes, but here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I start there. And here we read verse 10 and following. Paul tells young Timothy, "The love of money is the root of all evils, for it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. But as for you, men of God, shun all this." In other words, have nothing to do with those things. He says, aim at. In other words, have everything to do with these things. Aim at, man of God, aim at righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. So would you say this is in the hall of fame of things that Christians should be going after? How highly exalted. I mean, of all things, gentleness is right there with faith and love and steadfastness and such things, is to have gentleness with each other. Do you have gentleness with each other? It's so high in God's eyes, it is in the hall of fame of these words that we are to go after. The word in the Greek there, to aim at, is really to pursue, to follow hard after. And I would say it's sort of like if you are an arrow, and you can shoot yourself from your own bow, aim at gentleness, God says. So it's the hall of fame of Christian traits. Gentleness is one of them. And it's actually something that should be a hallmark of all of us, part of all of the Christians on earth, both now and forever, gentleness. For we read in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called." So we want to know about how to live a worthy life. And here it is. He says, "With all gentleness and humility, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So this is a hallmark of the Christian as well, with all gentleness and lowliness, with patience. Are you patient with each other? I think you guys are pretty good at that, but you know, we have work to do, all of us. Forbearing one another in love. That means putting up with each other's weaknesses. Do we all have weaknesses? Does your spouse have weaknesses? Do you have weaknesses? If you don't think you have any problems in your life, ask your spouse. Being gentle with each other in patience is what God is telling us to do here. That's what a Christian is all about. It's the Christian way. And do you know that that's even what God is trying to work or is working in each of us? If you turn over here to Galatians chapter 5, you know, the works of the flesh are fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, and such things. But then we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit..." Right, that fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Oh, what's this one right here? Gentleness. Self-control. There it is again. Right there in the hall of fame of things that the Holy Spirit Himself is trying to work in your heart and mine. He wants to take cruel, harsh people and to make of them gentle. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, well, gentle men, that's what God is after, to make gentle men and gentle women. It's a hallmark of His kingdom. That's what it's like. And why? Because God Himself is gentle. Though mighty and He roars like a lion, and he's by his own might he can put the stars in the sky. It says he is so gentle. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. Gentle is our Lord God. That's just amazing. So God wants us to aim at gentleness. And what is gentleness then? How can we define it? Well, when we looked at 1 Timothy 6 a second ago, aim at gentleness, the word in the Greek is proutes, which means a tender kindness towards one another. So if you're talking about gentleness, it's how you handle something, right? You know, you can handle a thing gently. We're after handling people gently. A tender kindness in such a way that you handle people that you come into contact with, not to hurt them, but to help them. Not to pulverize them, but to promote and preserve them. Not to crush them, but to care for them very gently. Can I give you a little example? A little physical example I got here. I've got a multitude here today, so take a look at this. I got this very beautiful little butterfly that I found outside. How do I have to treat this thing? Very gently. Do I have the strength personally right now to crush this if I wanted to? Yep. Gentleness doesn't come from weakness, friends. It is strength under control used in order to preserve something. And so God wants us to treat each other, as I'm treating this butterfly, gently, because it's fragile, right? How about this one? I found this next door, this glass pitcher. How should I handle this glass pitcher over this hard floor over here? Is that a good idea? Tossing this around? No, you got to treat it gently. It can crack and be destroyed. And here's another one. Ta-da! The incredible edible egg. This egg in my hand. Now, let's see. Richard, where are you? You want to catch this one back there? Is that the way to handle an egg? An egg is the supreme example of fragility. It's so fragile, easily cracked. And who knows, we may crack one before the end. But this is how we're to handle each other, God says, as if handling an egg. Because gentleness actually, when you handle it gently, promotes life. And that's what God's all about. When I was in my 20s years ago, and I was canoeing, I did a lot of exploring, and I was up in Cape Cod, a wintry day across a winter's bay to a deserted island. I canoed. And I explored the island, and on the other side of the island, I found a goose that had been half slain. It was barely alive. I think a fox had gotten it. And so I had a gentleness stirring within me. I actually didn't know what to do, so I said, I'll go home and see if Animal Rescue might come and get them or what. So I went, I canoed back, told Animal Rescue. They said, well, if you can bring it to us, we'll take care of it. So I took the kayak back this time because I had to go fast. And I brought a towel. And you know what? When I went back, the goose was gone. I guess the fox had finished the meal. But as I'm walking around the marsh and the seaweed that's up on the beach there, I noticed a little nest with several eggs. Of course, they were bigger eggs than these. They're about this big or so. But several goose eggs, the mother goose that had been slain, I found them. And I took them up very gently in my hands. They're big eggs. I carried them gently to the kayak. I took a towel that I'd brought, and I wrapped them very gently in the towel, set them in the stern of my kayak in the little compartment, raced back with strength to the shore, got up there and called Animal Rescue again, found where to go, brought him in, and they took them from me very gently. And then they put these goose eggs under a lamp to incubate them, and then covered them with downy feathers and nurtured them very kindly. And then a number of months later, what do we see in the newspaper?
Well, there was a man who rescued several eggs from an island which he was exploring, and here's a picture of them now having been born, and it had a picture of them flying. Be careful of the eggs here, Greg.
They're flying off with a whole bunch of flock of other geese. And so my gentleness in that case and the gentleness of the animal rescue promoted life. Do you know how easy it would have been for me to just go or something, or to drop them? Yeah. So, oh, come on. We got to handle each other as if we're handling an egg. And why is that? Because we're fragile. We're very delicate. And I think that's just an amazing thing, because we have these amazing hearts, even born again as Christians. We can conquer kingdoms. You know, we can escape the mouths of lions, as it says in the Bible. We can be thrown down 1,000 times and resiliently get up and go again. The human heart is amazing, and yet it's so easily cracked. It's so delicate. It's so fragile. It's so easily crushed. And how do you crush a heart or a spirit? By a very simple word, or a side remark, or a gesture, or a vicious little cutting, sideways, passive-aggressive attack. Or maybe you didn't even mean it. You can easily crush people. Even people that have, you know, conquered armies, if their spouse or their children or a loved one nearby gives them a remark, it can cut and destroy, and you can take that egg and very easily, mishandled eggs, cracked, and, ooh, not too good, huh? Good thing I brought a towel. Look at that. You can mishandle. And have you guys been crushed like this by people? Even people that you love, maybe especially people that you love, have they made you look all like this? Sometimes we've crushed each other. You know, the Bible says that there are those whose words are like sword thrusts. And it says in Psalm 64, I think it is, it says, there are those who aim words like bitter arrows. Psalm 10 says, the hapless is crushed, sinks down, and falls by his might. And we can very easily crush and crack each other, says God in the Bible. That's why he wants us to handle each other, you know, on each heart, on each forehead. Maybe look at Alice here. On her forehead should be written, fragile, handle with care. Right? On Lynn's head, fragile, handle with care. Maybe on your spouse's head, you want to crack a hammer over it, but it says, fragile, handle with care, God says, because gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The kingdom of God, that's what he's working inside of us. And he wants to make us more gentle today than we came in, and continue to make us more like himself as we go. That's a beautiful thing. So let me think of an example of how that might happen. Let's consider a boy is really young, coming home from Little League, and he comes in the door to his dad at the table, and he says, Dad, I hit a home run, I hit a home run. Dad looks up from the table. What is this that I see here? I got a letter today. You got a C in your science class. Now, was that a good choice or a bad choice? Now, maybe the son needs to have some instruction on getting a C in class, and there's a time for that discussion. Is that the time for that discussion? When he says, Dad, I got a home run today. What happens? The dad took his son and cracked him, right? Ooh, that's really bad. Look at that. I have to hold it over this. What is a parent supposed to do for his child, or a husband for a wife, or each of us to each other? We are to mold each other, help each other, sharpen each other, even rebuke each other, but to do so in such a way that we don't crush the spirit or crack the spirit. That's the difficult thing sometimes. The father had bad timing. Maybe good intentions, but bad timing. Maybe, good job, son. You got a home run. I'm so proud of you. Rejoice for a little while. Later on in the night, say, by the way, I noticed I got a letter here. How can we work on that? That would have been a way to preserve his spirit while also molding his character, but also preserving and not crushing his spirit. Do women sometimes crush each other? Those jeans make you look fat. Whoa, crushed and cracked. You can crush each other. How about a husband to a wife? Maybe that's the biggest one. We can easily do that because The people we're the closest with are the easiest to crush because they love us and they hear our words. So, you know, a husband can put down his wife. A wife can put down her husband. And maybe you've all experienced that even today. We got to be gentle, fragile, handle with care, says God. I know when I was working on schooners up in Maine one time, I think I've told you this story where, you know, one of the crewmen lost a wrench. And the captain said, go and buy two wrenches. So the guys went to Ace Hardware, brought back two wrenches. He took one of them and he flung it into the harbor. And he says, now at least we know where one of those wrenches is. How do you think it is to work under a guy like that? He crushes you every day, every step of the way. Your summer is a disaster. Whereas if he were just nice, gentle, and correct you with a good, inspiring way, he could have a great boat. Same thing. So in workplaces and pastors and churches can misuse these things. You ever seen the story of a new believer gets saved, comes to Jesus, comes into a church excited about Christ, excited about her or his salvation, and all of a sudden the church members would look down at that person and say, your life is not all cleaned up yet. What's the matter with you? Oh, those former sins? That's horrible. Of course, you guys don't do that, but that happens. A very judgmental attitude takes a very delicate egg that just God brought into birth by the womb of the Holy Spirit and crushes it. Almost turns that person back to the devil if not another Christian comes along and says, no, let me mend that crack and put it back together and gently help you to grow up in Christ. I'm supposed to help you grow up gently in Christ, not to beat you over the head with a hammer. Are there times to beat over the head with a hammer? You got a hammer. Is there a time that your words should be sharp and hard against somebody? Yeah, there are times. Jesus is very, very gentle. And yet sometimes he says, like we read there a moment ago, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. It shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom than for you. You whitewashed wall. You brood of vipers. You blind guides. What is he doing? He's using a hammer, but once again, it's still, in a sense, the spirit of gentleness because he's trying to save their souls by means of it. Sometimes we're very fragile eggs. Sometimes we're a nut. And you got to decide in each situation whether you're dealing with an egg or a nut. And don't go home to your spouses today and say, by the way, Pastor said you're a nut and I need to crack you. But you know, sometimes in life we got to decide. Sometimes you got to be sharp and stern and stand up and hammer. But again, the purpose there is to bring to repentance that they might be saved. But you know, the baseline of a Christian is that we're to handle gently. And that's always the place we go back to. And to use a hammer is actually very strange to us, but we'll do it. But nevertheless, gentleness. Handle with care each other. So what does the Bible say about who we should be gentle with? Well, let me read you a few passages here. Colossians 3 says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. How hard is it, women, if a husband is harsh with you? You are a delicate flower, if you will, and he tramples you underfoot. That's very difficult. So husbands, all of you out here today, treat your wives as if she's a delicate flower, God says, and nourish her, water her, raise her up. Husbands, live considerately with your wives, in an understanding way, says Peter, because you're joint heirs of the grace of life. And by the way, if you don't do that, your prayers will be hindered, says Peter. Also, you could look at wives. Women, 1 Peter 3 says, let not yours be the outward adorning with braiding of hair, decoration of gold, wearing of fine clothes, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable jewel of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. You want God to look down on you and say, ooh, there's a ruby. There's an emerald right there. That's a gentle and a quiet spirit. And it's not for nothing that the Holy Spirit, by the word, says, It's better to live in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with an argumentative woman. Sometimes, you know, wives can do that to their husbands. It's like peck, 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 peck. Little hen, peck, 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 peck. Putting down his character, his dignity, his spirit without respect. And, you know, you can cut and crack the egg. Not a good thing. So do that for your husbands. Be gentle, be kind, says God. You may perhaps win them. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but lest they be discouraged, Colossians 3 says. Mothers and women, open your mouths with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness be on your tongue. That's Proverbs 31. And pastors ought to tend their flocks, Peter says, in such a way as not domineering over them, not aggressively running through here like a bull in a china shop, but leading you, being a good example to you, doing so with a sane mind. You know, Hebrews 5 says, I can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward since I myself am beset with weakness. That's true. You're sinners. You've sinned. I've sinned. We've all sinned. I can deal gently with you because I also am struggling with that, and God's helping me through it, and I help you in the same way we help each other with gentleness. Encourage each other in these things. And is this powerful? We read in Proverbs 29, it says, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and a man given to anger causes much transgression. But Proverbs 15 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. You ever get crushed? Like someone, let's say you go to work and someone, you just get beat up all day. People are gossiping and putting you down and the boss is a jerk. And you come home to your wife and she treats you with gentleness and hears your words and gives you love all over. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It promotes life, speaks gentleness, speaks words of life to you. A harsh word stirs up anger, but a soft answer turns away wrath. You ever try that? You get in an argument with somebody, just start speaking really quiet, gentle and soft, and all of a sudden, they're like, well, I guess, okay, you're a nice guy, whatever. It can totally destroy arguments and anger if you just quiet down to gentleness. And with patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a soft tongue, says the Bible, will break a bone. You know, that's the way we're to be as Christians, when we witness to people. Peter says, always be prepared to make a defense to anybody who calls you to account for the hope in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence, with respect. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, says Paul, but kindly to everyone, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth after being captured by him to do his, by the devil to do his will. You know, when you have the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your house, do you slam the door in their face? Or do you welcome them in and say, here, let's sit down and hear what you have to say and share with them the word of God gently. That word, says the Bible, can do more than a slam in the face. No, bring the word to the world with gentleness, says the scriptures. So don't bring a hammer into the hen house unless you absolutely have to. Don't be a bull in a china shop. Carry each person as if they are fragile, because really we are easily crushed. And God says, in my kingdom, it's different. You're to build people up and things, not tear them down. And so, anybody want to get up and say that you've done this perfectly? We've all been harsh to each other. We've all crushed other people. We've all been crushed. How do we get to be better at gentleness? Answer is very simple. Look to God and look to how he is with you, because our God himself is gentle in how he's handled you. When he made you originally and you were in your mother's womb, Psalm 139 says, his eyes looked on your unformed substance. His hands fashioned you. And in his book, he wrote every one of the days that were formed for you, even before there was one of them. Does that sound like beautiful gentleness, Alice? Oh, he cared for you so gently, could have crushed, but no, saved, preserved, promoted, lifted you up to life. That's the case with all of us. You also have, when we sinned and went against God, He could have brought the hammer and destroyed us easily. In fact, he does bring a hammer to rebuke us and to correct. But we read this, Deuteronomy 32, like an eagle that flutters its nest, that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them up on his feathers. The Lord alone did lead his people, and there was no foreign God with him. He made Israel ride on the high places of the earth. These were bad people. They were rebelling against him, but God says, I was like a great eagle, and I bore them up on my feathers, and I carried them all the days of old. In pity and love, I redeemed my people, and in all their affliction, I felt the affliction. God has done the same with us. Even when we sinned, he was gentle. If he weren't gentle, you wouldn't be here today. But he was gentle, and he's preserved you. Let's preserve each other. And then we read that, you know, when Jesus came, he gave us the word of God, which Moses says, he gave us his word as gentle rain upon the tender grass. Ooh, you ever seen that? Picture that. That's how God's spreading and sprinkling his words over you right now. He's saying, like gentle rain upon tender grass, he's feeding you his word. And he did that for us especially when he sent Jesus. For this word was fulfilled in him from Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased, I'll put my spirit upon him. He shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles, and he won't wrangle or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick till he brings justice to victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles hope. When Jesus came, he came in gentleness, preached to us the word, and in great power and might with gentleness bore our sins on the cross so that we won't die, but that we can have eternal life as a free gift of his grace. Because he loves you. And his plan in his mind, he's already revealed in Ephesians 2. He says, my plan is that I do this to save you by grace so that in the coming ages and the world to come, into the forever and forevers, I might show the immeasurable riches of my grace and kindness towards you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? If you want to be more gentle, look at God who's dealt gently with you and imitate him with love towards each other. For God, when he came, he found us, as it were, on a far-off island across a wintry bay. He found that whole patch of eggs, and he bore us up very gently, carried us in the ark of Jesus Christ across the wintry bay, all the way back home. He's growing us up gently, incubating us, putting downy feathers around us in Christ, the Holy Spirit, until eventually we get to be mature and can run and fly like those beautiful wild geese in my story. As God has been to us, let's so also be towards one another. In Jesus' name, amen.